Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Welcome, everybody. Today's episode of Big Blend Radio is all about the new film. It is called Days of the Bagnold Summer. That is one heck of a last name to have, I'm telling you, especially when you're someone like me with the last name of Smith. I would like to be a Bagnold. You too could be a Bagnold if you want.
You acted like one.
I know. Listen, this is one of those awesome movies. It's a coming-of-age story for a teenager, Daniel, and also the single mom, Monica. That's not Monica in the movie, but Monica's here. We're very excited about this because Monica is one of the main stars, Monica Dolan. Earl Cave is Daniel. We've got Rob Brydon, Tamsin Grieg, we love her, Alice Lowe, and Elliot Speller Gillett, all in the show, but it's also directed by Simon Bird. And he's in one of our favorite British TV series called Friday Night Dinner. And some of our favorite sayings come from that. And pranks.
Yes.
But anyway, very excited because he directed this. His wife wrote the screenplay. This is just one of those cool, cool movies. You can watch it on virtual cinema. Download it. Just go to BagnoldSummerMovie.com and you can get it anywhere it releases today. So welcome, Simon. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Thanks for having us on your show.
Oh, we're excited about this. Are you kidding?
Pleasure to be here.
We love it. We love the movie because it's fun. I think everyone can identify with this, you know, because it deals with, you know, pain, that whole thing, especially divorce, kids going through divorce, the mom or the dad going through divorce. It's something that all of us have had to struggle with somewhere on some level. So I think a lot of us can identify with it.
Totally. And I think also it's very, it's sort of very much based on what's happening nowadays as well. You know, it's a story about a teenage boy who thinks he's going on a big summer holiday adventure to Florida, but at the last minute it's cancelled and he suddenly has to stay at home in a sort of lockdown with his mum. So I think a lot of people will understand that feeling about having your plans cancelled at the last minute and all your sort of hopes dashed. And it's about the sort of claustrophobia of suddenly having to spend a lot of time with your family. And the sort of the angst, but also the great, the sort of hopefully the joy that can lead to ultimately.
Oh, it was well done with that, especially. And Monica, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm really well, thank you. I'm very happy to be on the show. It's really kind of you to have us.
Oh, man, we enjoyed it. Like we were saying, Nancy and I both enjoyed it. And Nancy looks at me, you know, we're watching this together as mom-daughter, you know. And she's like, well, you know, because
have you been feeling very guilty?
She doesn't look
bad.
Hey,
I liked it.
You treated your mom.
I just keep looking at Lisa going, see, you were just like that.
When I was in high school, that whole goth era happened. I was in high school in South Africa, and you know we were all dressed in black, and it was Metallica, and it was all of that. You know, The Cure as well, and so we had that whole. I don't know. It was just crazy, and and all the adults looked at us like, why?
I know. I think there's something that certainly really, really panics Sue about her son, about Daniel, because I think it actually, if I'm putting her on the psychiatrist's couch, I think that she's gone through a lot during her teenage years that she hasn't really dealt with, and that it's quite a dark time. It has been quite a dark time for her, and that's picked up on in the movie as well. And so all of this angry music that Daniel's playing and everything that he's going through, all these changes that he's going through, I think she's sort of wondering, where's my little boy gone? And I think she sort of has to face some of her own demons before they can be a bit more harmonious. But like Simon said, I think that it does show that if you're sort of stuck together with somebody, as many of us are at the moment, then unforeseen joys or unforeseen fruits can come from the relationship and from the situation. So, It's good.
I don't want to give it away, certain things, but there was a couple scenes in there that were so pivotal, like just in the fudge scene. I'm just going to say the fudge thing. Nancy and I lost it because it was one of those moments where it was out of everyone's hands and out of everyone's control. And I was just like, no way. And as a teenager, you just want to go under the table. You want to go play your air guitar.
That's interesting because I thought that it was mainly British people whose sense of humor was based on public humiliation. But obviously, it's something that,
well, we did live in England for a couple of years. We lived in England for a couple of years, so we kind of.
So you've got a taste for it.
Listen, there's nothing like British humor. And listen, Simon, this is the thing about this film. We've done shows just about British film and TV and the fact that what British and even Canadian, now we're getting into Canadian stuff too, like Letterkenny and stuff, because there's this humor about little things and the characters, are so strong that you don't need to have this big budget, boom, bang, everything's exploding to make things happen. There's something really connective and that comes out of England. It's really about the characters, and definitely in your film, Days of the Bagnold Summer, you just identify with the characters immediately. As soon as it starts, you're like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know if it's an England thing, but it seems to me, now that we're here in the States and have been for a while, I really feel it is an English thing. You guys do good.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that comes from the book that the film is based on. It's based on a graphic novel, which definitely has that very, very English feel to it. It's incredibly understated and quiet and subtle. But also, a lot of it comes from the amazing cast. Monica managed to take a character that, to take the script and make it feel real, and so I was just very lucky that I was surrounded with such talented people.
Oh, he's so, Simon, you've got such good taste. That's what it comes from. I'm not talking about choosing us, I'm talking about just choosing, creating the atmosphere and the whole look of the movie, and also the thing about the drawings and everything in the graphic novel, they're very soulful. There's an awful lot of humour in the film, but actually the drawings themselves are quite soulful, and you can pick up a lot of they're quite evocative, and you can pick up a lot of, you soak up a lot of feeling in them, and that was very helpful for Sue and Daniel's relationship.
I love the characters because, like I was saying, you just identify with them immediately, and there's certain parts, like just even, when Sue goes in for Reiki, I was waiting for the whale, and it happened, because I have a friend who does that stuff, and I'm still not going, I'm not doing it. It's not happening. It's just not happening.
Oh, maybe it's time for you to do it, though, if you were... Sue was quite resistant, wasn't she?
I agree, Lisa. Go do it.
But then at the end...
Yeah, I think it's important that you do.
Yeah, definitely. She says, I haven't felt this good for ages.
It's like a good, a good jog on the beach. We all need one of those.
I think the next episode should be a live Reiki session.
Definitely. I'd listen to that.
But Sue, but I love Sue because the date. Oh no. Like we're watching.
Oh,
no. No, we're like, no, no. And you start like, no, like if I was her best friend, I'd be like, hello. No. But you should go out and do it anyway, just to do it. But
I'm quite pleased. I mean, one of the things that I was quite pleased with about the character was that, she could have been somebody who was portrayed as really, really too shy and going, no, I'm not going to do this, and no, thank you. But, she was up for her date, and she was going to enjoy her date. And I won't give too much away about where it goes, but, she sort of thought, now I'm going to get my date outfit from the back of the wardrobe and go and have a nice evening. And, yeah.
Why not? She's strong.
But,
she's strong. She's a
strong
character.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
I liked
it
because
really
she's...
And, yeah, no, I think one of the things that I find moving about her is that she's very loving, and she has got that sort of strength that's
mm-hmm.
not always noticed, but is sort of the bedrock of so many relationships, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And she's extremely supportive and also quite open. I mean, she doesn't necessarily understand Daniel all the time, but she's trying to.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really important. And I think she does. We've spoken about this before, and I don't know if it's the way that the production planned it, but luckily all of the scenes where he's really, really nasty to her were shot towards the end. So it was quite good, because at the beginning of the shoot we had sort of scenes where they were getting on and they were being quite nice to each other, and then their relationship and their intimacy and perhaps, you know, more of Daniel as he was a child could be established, and then sort of later in the shoot it went more wrong. And I remembered saying to Earl, actually, there was, because he's such a nice chap, and at one point he was having to be really nasty to me, and I remember saying, you know, if you're doing a good job, if you're really nasty to her in the scene, that's you doing your job well, and to sort of give him permission. And I don't know, maybe I regretted that at some point. Sometimes it could be a bit hurtful, but
I love the t-shirt scene when Lisa had when she went to school in South Africa, they had to wear uniforms. So I was
like,
back
in England. Back in England. Yeah.
Yeah.
In England.
You know, it's like, I'm so glad
they
had school uniforms.
Listen, they need to check them out. The whole uniform
no, they,
thing.
They need
no.
to keep them.
No. No. Uh-uh. But listen, I wanted to go to you, Simon, on actually deciding this was going to be, you know, you read this graphic novel, which I love, but then you bring in this whole, the music, you know, which you expect is going to be all like thrash metal and shred metal, and, you know, and it's not that. You've got this beautiful music and connecting with that, which is super cool. So what was this whole, like, what was it for you that made it like, this is going to be what I do to direct? And what's it like to direct? You know, I know you do a lot in comedy and acting, but then and being part of production, but just saying, okay, this is going to be my big project.
I wanted to do this because I loved the book, and I felt like tonally, it was the sort of spirit that I wanted to make in a film. And I mean, you ask about the music. I think that the music, yeah, we could have gone in lots of different directions with the music, and we did
mm-hmm.
definitely think about making it a very heavy metal soundtrack. But I think for a couple of reasons that just felt wrong. One is that, you know, that's really Daniel's music, and it felt like we'd be sort of excluding Sue from that
mm-hmm.
somehow. And also, I think ultimately I just wanted the music to have to achieve the effect that the drawings achieve in the book, which is they just, I think they sort of ease the reader into the story. You can just see immediately from the style of Joff's drawings that this is going to be a very warm book. It's going to be empathetic, and it's going to be witty. And I think the music does a similar job. It sort of helps create the tone that I wanted to achieve.
Mm.
And in terms of how, you know, what it was like directing, I loved it. You know, it's such a thrill and a privilege to be given the responsibility to, you know, see a project through from start to finish, and to, you know, have that final sign off on just felt like a huge, yeah, responsibility, but also what I've been sort of working towards and hoping, looking forward to doing creatively. So I had a great time, and I'd love to do more in the future.
I think it's great because you've also had the background of acting and being in comedy, so you mm-hmm. know those ropes, you know what I mean? So you understand the different sides, and then you get to, like, really put everything together, which is It's exciting. It's like for us, like as a magazine publishers, we're able to do all these different things, you know, go from writing and photography to, oh, now we can do the whole thing. It's an exciting thing to do. But I also wanted to ask both of you, you know, when you think about acting and being on stage in a theater versus film, you know, we were talking about the, you know, just how wonderful characters, you know, the characters and the character acting that comes out of England. But to me, it is almost like you are watching it in a theater. There's a, that energy is there. And even watching this, you know, I know where, you know, you're inside the, you know, the home, there's a feeling of, I think that's the beauty of the character thing. I know I keep going back to that, but it's something really special that you have that energy of though you're right there. And I don't, you don't see that every day.
You know what though? I think that also might be to do with the way that Simon framed the shots. Sometimes I remember, you know, taking part in a scene and thinking, oh, why is he filming this bit? Or, I'm not quite sure why I'm doing this. And then in the film at the end, you'd see it was a very witty way of looking at that particular scene. So there was one point when I looked down the, I can't remember why, because I never do this and I don't really like doing it, but I looked through the camera at the framing and I thought, oh, that's the sort of film that I'm in. Oh, I see. Okay. Because I was framed very small in the doorway when I was on the phone to Mr. Porter, who,
oh yeah, yeah,
you know, Rob Brydon, who Sue has the date with, and I thought, gosh, you know, Sue looks really vulnerable and small through that door. And you know, with lots of the scenes, it was very, some of the scenes were very upsetting and very emotional. And you'd be really going for it and really feeling it when you were doing it, and then you'd look at it in the cinema or you know, on the screen, and it would be framed in such a way that Simon was maybe asking you to look at the characters in a not more detached way, but in a slightly different way to how we were feeling. You know, it wasn't immersive in that way. I think I'm you know, it's good that you've picked up on that, I think, because it was there was certainly, you know, the framing was kind of a character in itself. That's what I got from it.
I think your body language though is like,
exactly.
Because your face was so, no, it's going to be this way, and you're not going to show how upsetting it really is, but your shoulders, you're like, oh man. We could just watch your body language.
That's the interesting thing about acting, that, you know, I suppose the characters have all these thoughts, but they don't, that's what a character is. They sort of let the feelings and thoughts leak out in different ways, don't they? And that's what makes them all different.
I don't know how Monica and Elle did that, because I think their body language in the film is,
it's amazing,
almost precisely what it is in the book. And I don't know how they've managed to sort of, how you guys managed to incorporate, you know, it felt like you just became the character so much that they just leapt off the page onto the screen. And I think you're exactly right about the overlap between theatre acting. And again, that is just down to having a great cast. And Monica has huge theatrical experience.
Oh, yeah.
So she really did, you know, become that character in a way that is really hard for TV and film actors. You know, it's hard just to switch it on and suddenly have to do an odd line here or pick up another line somewhere else. Or it's not like doing a play where you have, you know, 2 hours to sink into it. But Monica and Earle did such an amazing job of being able to turn those characters on and off.
And Tamsin, I think, too, she's extraordinary. I mean, her breadth of work, too. I mean, if you go and look up everybody that's in this film, you know, you've seen them in everything. We've seen you in things, Monica. We've seen Rob Brydon. Nancy's like, I know him. And his character, I'm just like, dude, he's like a Hugh Grant in a way. Like, he's got that, you know, here I am. I'm like, you know, the charmer.
I'm Mr. Charming, but I'm not really good.
He's just a little older Hugh Grant. And then, you know, but Tamsin too. Tamsin cracks me up. She is, Man, what a
it was
what
so
a
much fun doing those scenes with Tamsin. Tamsin's character,
I would have laughed.
Astrid is so wonderful.
And it's just it's one of the great joys of directing is being able to, you know, finally be able to cast all your favorite people. So, you know, being able to put together my dream team of my favorite comic actors with Monica and Tamsin and Rob and Alice and Tim Key
and Elliot. Elliot's a trip. Oh my god.
And the rest of the gang.
Yeah, like
so that,
oh,
that,
I
that
I went to school with Elliot.
Joy being able to do that.
Yeah,
I know I didn't, but I went to school with
him.
We
all did,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like, that was so cool. I think this is, you know, I love this. This is so great, and it's out everyone. If you go to BagnoldsSummerMovie.com and virtual cinema. So that's something, too. I know this whole pandemic, we're all, like, at home. So this is the perfect time to watch movies, and it's cold. It's winter over here, so do it. And but is this something that goes global with being a virtual cinema? Like, you know, my friends in South Africa, because I know they'll love this. Can anyone anywhere in the world watch this pretty much?
Oh, you're asking the wrong guy.
Okay.
I've certainly had friends in Australia who've watched it.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
definitely.
Yeah, let's say yes. And then,
okay, I think so. Yeah.
And they might get it before or after everybody else, too, because they're always like 17 and a half hours away, wherever it is. They always have that extra half hour because they want to be down under and different. Rock on. I love it. But so if you just go to BagnoldsSummerMovie.com, that is the website to go for this, and definitely watch it. It is super fun, and we love it. And listen, whenever you take someone's cake, eat the icing. I'm just going
to
take you on that.
We're like, no way.
To eat the icing.
Yes, if you're allowed. I mean, I love that. There's so many parts of this that just show that relationship, just little things that were just so perfect. Before we go, Simon, would you ever continue this in some kind of series?
That'd be so cool.
There's certainly no plans to. No, I think it's such a... As I said, what I love about the book is how small and sort of perfectly formed it is. And that's what we tried to do with the movie as well, was keep it concise. And, you know, I love that it's 86 minutes and it feels like it doesn't need to be a minute longer. So it doesn't feel like we need to see any more from these guys. We see a snapshot of their life and you sort of want to, it's nice to imagine what happens with the rest of their lives rather than seeing it play out, I think.
I agree. It's nice to... I think, you know, hopefully feel optimistic at the end about where we're going next.
Oh, yeah.
I think it would be fun to see the teenager become a father himself and have to deal with the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
Sue so
become a granny.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. We'll do a sequel in 20 years' time.
We could give you wrinkles.
I think Sue would dote on her grandchild too much.
Oh, hey, listen, where was the beach when you went to the coast, the seaside, excuse me, I'll go back to English side, the other side of the pond. Where were you filming all of this?
Well, we moved around quite, I mean, a lot of that, and a few people have pointed this out to me, that the geography of their road trip doesn't make any logical sense. So a lot of the stuff that we filmed in the car was not really near where we ended up filming the beach. The beach scene was at Southend-on-Sea,
we had a lovely few days in Southend-on-Sea,
didn't
we?
Yeah,
I really enjoyed myself.
Being on summer holiday.
Wow, I know we've been there, Nancy. I know. Is that,
I know.
Which,
that's what I thought.
Which side is it on of the which side of the island is it on? Where, like, what's the closest city
the
to
island?
It? I'm just trying to get my head straight with it because I know it sounds familiar to me.
Well, that's
think
the
back.
Sort of thing I should know, isn't it? It's down at the it's sort of right out east.
Kent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You can't.
Southeast.
Yeah, and I was asking too because I got to give a shout out to our show sponsor, which is Glenn Burrows. He's owns Norfolk Tours in England, in Norfolk, East Anglia, and you can go to norfolk-tours.co.uk. He does tours. He takes people if they want to dig into their family history or go on a vacation or go. It's totally customized. It's very awesome. So everyone, check out Glenn.
They've got the most beautiful beaches there.
Yeah, lovely.
Really, really stunning. Yeah.
And we haven't been paid to say that. We genuinely
Well, thank you for saying that. He's going to agree with you. And he's the sweetest man. It's like, we can't wait to go back to England just to meet Glenn in person. He's been on our shows for like 10, 12 years now, talking about English history and what to see and do. And, you know, he takes people all over England.
Get Glenn to take you to the beaches in Norfolk. It's, lovely.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Oh, and last thing, real quick. Okay, each of you now with this whole pandemic thing, what happens for you moving forward in your careers? Monica, do you have projects or are you able to work or do you have to wait a while?
I have been working, but I know how rare that is at the moment, and I've been extremely lucky. I did a solo show in the theatre and on television, Talking Heads by Alan Bennett. I actually went to Sicily miraculously. Did a musical movie of Cyrano de Bergerac, however you say. That was in a couple of months, and I think I missed one of the lockdowns here. And yes, I think probably every day the producers were thinking was probably our last day of filming, but somehow we got through the whole thing. So
I love it.
Yeah. So and hopefully a couple of filming projects coming up, and we'll be well tested and bubbled and
bubble wrapped.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
We're bubbled.
I know.
Yeah.
Simon, what about you? How do you feel about it? I mean, isn't it cool that this comes out now while everyone's home? In a way, it's like,
yeah. I'm trying to educate my two young children. So I've been doing a lot of homeschooling. I directed a short TV series at the end of last year, and sort of talking about various jobs that might happen over the summer, but for the moment I'm very much homebound and teaching my daughter the difference between even and odd numbers. That was today.
Oh, well, that's good.
Now that you mention it, that must be quite difficult to explain. I don't know.
And what are you going to do when you get to prime numbers? When you get to prime numbers, And then algebra. Now, you see, I feel for any parent teaching algebra or trigonometry.
No.
Like, I feel bad. That's mean. That's cruel. That's just.
It is.
It's just
like
wrong.
I feel like I've got off very lightly.
Well, hopefully it'll all end, and we wish everyone in England the best. I know with that whole other second thing that went through and of the pandemic or the virus, and we just hope you all stay safe and everyone around the world stays safe and healthy, and let's get back to normal. We need to go play on the beach.
Yeah.
We need to all go play on the beach. But thank you both for joining us. We're going to close with a song. It's from one of our favorite bands in England, Sandtimer. They're on our shows as well all the time. And this is a song called Time, Why Explain? And it just kind of feels part of the movie to me, just listening to the song and having watched the movie. Again, everyone, MagnoltSummerMovie.com is where to go. And keep up with Sandtimer at sandtimer.weebly.com. Here it is. Time, Why Explain? Here it is. Take care, guys. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.
That sudden moment when you're swimming out from the beach, you feel the current turning, it's pulling you out of reach. You've been splashing around, looking at all the lights, but now you're flailing, borne out on the tide, and it's a cold, cold day when it happens. But there is one long life leading on from this moment. There in the photographs, the people are all smiling. Was it really such good times, or was it just good timing? Sometimes Sometimes I wonder where the photos are. A summer's day in the cool shade of a forest full of conifer trees. And it's a cold, cold day when it happens. But there is one long life leading on from this. Go.